In the book, God and the British Soldier, Michael Snape recounts the story of a British soldier who constantly carried a Bible in his back pocket. Then, one day, while under enemy fire, during the 1915 Battle of Gallipoli, the Bible-toting soldier was struck by a Turkish bullet. And feeling like he had been clobbered by a sledgehammer, the soldier looked to see where he had been hit, only to discover that the bullet had lodged harmlessly inside his military belt, but only after passing through the treasured pages of his Holy Bible. I guess you could say that this soldier was protected because he was wearing a belt of truth. It's in our study last week that we kicked off an 8-week series on the subject of spiritual warfare titled Winning the War Against Wickedness. And during that first study, we spent our time examining the importance of spiritual recognition. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13, we saw the need for believers to recognize, number one, that our authority comes from Christ. Number two, that our adversary has methods of deception and minions of demons. And number three, that our armaments are specifically designed to help us to win this war against wickedness. Now, as we continue this series on spiritual warfare, we're going to begin examining those very armaments so that we might more fully understand how to use them according to God's design. And so let's begin by first considering how God has given us both offensive and defensive armaments. For example, it helps to know that God has given us spiritual ammunition. Spiritual ammunition that's designed for offensive measures. During the final 2 weeks of this series, we'll spend our time examining these armaments of spiritual ammunition. Secondly, God has also given us spiritual armor. Spiritual armor, which has been designed to provide us with defensive protection. And starting today, we're going to spend the next 5 weeks studying this spiritual armor, beginning with the belt of truth. And so let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul began to encourage believers to put on this armor, beginning with that protective belt. And here in Ephesians 6, beginning again in verse 10, Paul writes, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." Now let's stop right there, because beginning here in verse 14, we find this first piece of protective armor that we must wear if we want to win the war against wickedness. And this first piece of armor that we find in our text today is called the belt of truth. Look again at verse 14, where Paul declared, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." I like the way that the translators of the New International Version rendered this verse. I like the way that they put, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." The New Living Translation puts it like this, "Stand your ground, putting on the sturdy belt of truth." Now, in order to better understand what it means to put on this belt of truth, we must remember that this letter to the church in Ephesus was written while Paul was under arrest there in Rome. Therefore, there's good reason to believe that Paul was looking straight at the military armaments of a Roman soldier as he wrote to the believers in Ephesus about the spiritual armaments that God has provided us. And it's with this military armor in mind that Paul began the analogy by comparing the Roman soldier's belt to the belt of truth that's found in Christ. With this in mind, I want to spend our time this morning considering the importance of this piece of armor. I want to consider the importance of the piece of armor that we call the belt of truth. And I want to consider the three benefits that every believer receives whenever we choose to wear the belt of truth. And so in our study today, we're going to see how the belt of truth, number one, fixes our focus. Number two, we'll discover how the belt of truth also secures our strength. And thirdly and finally in our study today, we'll examine how the belt of truth readies our response. Well, with this as our outline, let's begin to consider these benefits of wearing the spiritual belt of truth by considering how this belt of truth first fixes our focus. Without a doubt, there are times when a belt, well, it's more than just another fashionable wardrobe accessory. For example, consider the story of the 16-year-old robbery suspect. He was from Covington, Louisiana, and he was literally caught with his pants down. MSNBC reported that the arresting officer spotted the wanted teen standing on a street corner and immediately called for those two backup officers before attempting to make the arrest. Then, according to Lieutenant Jack West, they all converged on him from different directions. And as the juvenile suspect started to run from the police officers, his low-riding, sagging pants fell down and he stumbled to his knees, resulting in his capture and arrest. Now, if he didn't know it before, we can be certain now that this troubled teenager is fully aware that it's impossible to run when your pants are hanging around your ankles. I'm guessing that this young man learned a valuable lesson about the importance of a belt. We should also consider, though, that this young man, while he was stumbling over his britches for a lack of a belt, the officers who pursued him, they ran without hindrance and without distraction simply because they were smart enough to have a belt on. It's in similar fashion that we should consider how the Roman soldiers of the first century, they wore this military belt. It was called a balteus. The balteus was a thick leathered belt which would be decorated with ornate belt plates made of brass or silver or tin. And while every belt was designed according to the personal tastes and the wealth of the owner, the basic function of this military belt was the same for every soldier. Simply put, it kept their loose-fitting tunic out of their way. This belt was used to keep the loose-fitting clothing that they had on out of their way so that they could function in the way that they needed to. I mean, can you imagine for a moment? You're in the middle of a major battle facing an enemy foe, and you've got this loose-fitting tunic on that you keep tripping over. Without a doubt, you'd be so distracted with your clothing that you would end up losing the battle, maybe even your life. And so the balteus, it was a piece of armor that helped keep a soldier's wardrobe malfunctions from getting in his way. It kept his loose-fitting cape out of the way so that he could swing his sword and walk and run as needed. In other words, the belt helped him to stay focused on what was important. The belt helped him to stay focused on the battle before him. And with this practical function in mind, I want to spend some time considering how the belt of truth that Paul described in Ephesians chapter 6 has also been designed by God to help Christians win the war against wickedness by helping us to stay focused on the fight. And in order to more fully develop this point, I want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Because it's in the first chapter of his first epistle that Peter also wrote about our need for a belt of truth. Rather than using a military illustration, Peter pointed to the common practices of the non-enlisted citizen. And so check out 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to begin there at verse 13. Because there in 1 Peter 1 verse 13, Peter writes, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Here in this verse, here in this text, when the Apostle Peter encouraged Christians to gird up the loins of their mind, he was actually using a phrase that it was a metaphor. that was used in this time period to refer to a customary practice of the Orientals. You see, in order to be unrestricted in their movements, these people would bind their long flowing tunics up around their bodies and then fasten the loose ends of the tunic with a leather belt. And that way they would keep the loose fitting garment from tripping them up and causing them to fall. So just like the Roman soldiers, this military belt, they used a leather belt. A leather belt to keep them from stumbling over loose fitting garments. Now with this in mind, we must understand that when Peter declared, "Gird up the loins of your mind," he's talking about an immaterial girding, a girding up of the mind. And so he seems to be suggesting that Christians ought to tie up the loose ends of the thoughts and the ideas that produce deceptive doubts and false feelings. He seems to be saying that we should take those beliefs, those loose-ended beliefs, and bind them up with a belt of truth. And we do that by fixing our focus on the hope of God's grace. And we do this for good reason. You see, the thoughts and ideas that produce the deceptive doubts that we think, or the false feelings that we have, those deceptive doubts and false feelings which really contradict God's eternal truths, all of these thoughts come from one of two sources. And without debate, one of these sources of our bogus beliefs, it's the devil and his demons. We studied the devil and his demons last week. We considered the rank and file of those fallen angels. And thankfully, in just a few weeks, we're going to consider how the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation have been given to provide us with protection against the demonic fiery darts that they shoot at us. But for today, I want to focus on another source, the second source of these false thoughts. Because the second source of our false thoughts, the deceptive thoughts, the doubts and the false feelings that we might have, the second source, well, it's our own natural mind. Because while certainly the enemy is shooting fiery darts of deception at us, a lot of the thoughts that we have that contradict God's truth originate in our own lusts and in our own minds. So if you would, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Because in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want to continue to consider how we create these loose-ended thoughts and what we should do with them. As you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want to spend a moment explaining why I'm calling these thoughts that produce deceptive doubts and false feelings. I want to explain why I call them loose-ended thoughts. So just let me explain it like this. When people of the first century put on their tunics, they were choosing to wear a loose-fitting garment that could catch their feet and cause them to stumble. They chose to put those tunics on. So they would also choose to tie up the loose ends with a belt when they need to run or work or do something that they might trip over the loose-fitting garment. They put the tunic on, they would tie the loose ends up. It's with this in mind that I want to imagine for a moment that the deceptive doubts that we choose to consciously create, we choose to consciously create them, and they end up causing us to become distracted with all kinds of questions about the truth of God's Word. We create these false feelings in our minds, and when we choose to entertain them, we oftentimes distract ourselves with questions about the source and standard of what truth is. And listen, when all of these unanswered questions, when we just allow them to stay unanswered, we're actually forming what I like to describe as a tunic with loose ends. And the more unanswered questions that we have, the longer that tunic gets. Until we find ourselves spiritually stumbling and falling down with every step that we take. As a result, this immaterial tunic of unanswered questions causes us to take our focus off the good fight of faith, and we end up shifting our attention back and forth between God's eternal truths and the carnal questions that come from deceptive doubts and false feelings. Now, if you're resonating with this right now, if you're thinking, man, that sounds a lot like what I'm going through right now. If you have all of these unanswered questions that you started asking from thoughts and ideas that led to deceptive doubts and false feelings, and you've got all these questions floating around in your mind, and you just suppress them and put them away, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, the enemy's attacking you, and you never answered those questions, and now you're stumbling and falling in your Christian faith. then let me assure you that it's time today to start tying up these loose ends with the belt of truth. And we do that by fixing our focus on the everlasting truths that are found in God's Word. As a matter of fact, this is exactly what Paul encouraged Timothy to do here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And beginning here at verse 14, Paul encouraged Timothy to continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. From these verses, we see that God has given the Holy Scriptures so that Christians can be assured of the truth. Not only that, but also thoroughly equipped to win the war against wickedness. And so we must understand that the belt of truth, it's based on the truths and the doctrines that we find in the Bible. Therefore, whenever questions arise from deceptive doubts, don't get distracted with those thoughts. Don't get distracted with questions that arise from deceptive doubts, but instead, tie up those loose ends with the belt of truth by seeking God's Word for answers. Answers are in God's Word. Just might take some time and some energy on our part to go and get the answers. Don't suppress them. Don't leave them there for us to trip over later. But search the Scriptures daily to find out what the truth of God's Word says. And when the false feelings that we create force us to fall down, don't just continue to keep stumbling over those ideas and those thoughts, but instead tie up the loose ends with the belt of truth by seeking answers in God's Word. Christian, we must not fail to forget that we are in the middle of a spiritual battle. Every Christian finds themselves day by day, minute by minute, at war with the enemies of God. In our own minds, we create those questions. Some of them very good questions. All of them have answers. And so we just need to take the time to open God's Word, to study, to show ourselves approved. Christians who can rightly divide the Word of God and understand what the Lord has declared. So we need to deal with these unanswered questions. We need to begin to find the answers, to tie up the loose ends so that we're not tripping ourselves with the immaterial tunic of unanswered questions. So we see that the belt of truth, it helps us to fix our focus by tying up those loose-ended thoughts that distract us with doubtful ideas and false feelings. We need to take the time to tie all that up. Secondly, we should consider how the belt of truth also secures our strength. And in order to more fully develop this point, I want to turn back to 1 Peter. I want to look at 1 Peter chapter 1 again. And as you turn to 1 Peter 1, we should spend a moment considering another feature and function of the Roman soldier's military belt. You see, according to the design of this important piece of armor, the balteus was not only used to tie up those loose ends of their tunics, it was also used to keep the breastplate close to the body and secured in place. And in this way, the balteus helped the breastplate to provide protection to the Roman soldiers' vital organs and core muscles. Not only that, but there was also a protective apron that was connected to the balteus. This protective apron would then provide protection for the soldiers' hip flexor muscles and upper thighs. You see, this military belt secured the strength of the Roman soldier by keeping these crucial pieces of armor in their proper place. You see, when it comes to our physical strength, a person is really only as strong as their core. And if you're a soldier and you take a sword to a vital organ or a core muscle, you end up powerless. You end up robbed with power because you've been stabbed in some way, you've been cut deep, and all of a sudden you lack the power to keep fighting. Therefore, the Roman soldiers, they would use this belt to secure the breastplate in place, to keep the apron on to provide ample protection to their vital organs and core muscles, which would then secure their strength to continue fighting. It's in similar fashion that we must understand the belt of truth has been designed by God to secure our spiritual strength by protecting our core beliefs and our vital doctrines. Think about it like this. When it comes to our Christian faith, there are core beliefs that we hold on to. There are vital doctrines that we've embraced. For example, we believe that God is a good and loving God, and that He sent us His only begotten Son, Jesus, to pay for our sins by dying on the cross. We believe that God's forgiveness is freely given to those who will simply receive it by faith, and that there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, which means that there's nothing we could do to separate us from His love. These are only a few of the core beliefs and vital doctrines that we've embraced as believers. But listen, just as a heads up for all of us, and just in case you didn't know, the enemies of God have a plan to catch us off guard, to cut us deep, and to rob us of our spiritual strength. Their plan is to convince us that God really isn't good. Their plan is to convince us that God really isn't loving. And these wicked spirits will come along and they'll whisper in our ears and they'll tell us that God is allowing our suffering because He's cruel. They want us to believe that God is allowing our pain because He's mean and that He doesn't love us. This is what they want us to believe. Their plan is also to remind us that we're unworthy of God's forgiveness. They want to remind us of our unworthiness so that they can come along and say, see, He's not going to forgive you. You're unworthy. That's what they want us to think about, our unworthiness. Not only that, but the enemies of God will also insist that we've lost the grace of God, and so let's just give up. They want you to just give up, to stop fighting the good fight of faith. And they want to rob you of the core beliefs and the vital doctrines that would keep us going forward. Listen, it's with these demonic lies that the enemies of God attempt to cut us to the core and rob us of our spiritual strength. Therefore, it's so important to keep our spiritual armor in place with the belt of truth. Now, we will spend time looking at the breastplate of righteousness. But for now, we must understand that that breastplate of righteousness is held in place by the belt of truth. And so we must have the belt of truth on to keep the breastplate of righteousness close to our chest to provide us protection so that we can continue to hold on to those core beliefs and those vital doctrines. And here in 1 Peter 1, Peter helps us to understand how to do just that. Here in 1 Peter 1, looking again at verse 13, Peter says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here in this verse, we find a secondary command that goes hand in hand with the first. In other words, Peter was telling us to tie up those loose-ended thoughts that produce deceitful doubts and false feelings. And as we do, we also must make a conscious decision to continually rest our hope fully upon the grace of God. Now, in order to more fully understand what Peter meant, I want to take some time to define some terms. So check out the end of verse 13 again, because I want to consider some of these words here, beginning with the phrase, rest your hope. This phrase was actually translated from the Greek word elapizo. This word simply means to have a confident expectation of something. And in a religious sense, this word means to wait for salvation with joy and confidence. Confidently and joyfully waiting for our salvation. And so when Peter instructed us to rest our hope, he was actually telling us to relax in the fact that our salvation has been secured by Jesus Christ. Now, with this in mind, we should also notice the next phrase there. It presents us with the focus of our hope. And so look again at the end of the verse, the second half of verse 13, where Peter instructed Christians to rest our hope fully upon the grace. This word fully means completely, entirely, means absolutely. And that word grace there, it refers to the unearned and unmerited favor of God by which sinners are forgiven of every sin. And so not only was Peter instructing us to relax in the fact that our salvation is secured in Christ, he was also telling us to rest our hope completely, entirely, and absolutely upon the unearned and unmerited favor of God. Okay, so we've defined some terms here, and now I want to back out of the details. I want to back out of the details, take a broad look at this so we can better understand how the belt of truth is used to secure the strength of the Christian soldier. And in order to do so, I want to recount a few scenarios that I just presented a few minutes ago, because, you see, when the devil's demons try to convince us that our struggles only prove that God isn't good or loving, it's the belt of truth that helps us to remember that God has a plan to set us free from all the pain and all the suffering in heaven. The enemy wants to say that, oh, evil and pain and suffering, all of that is really God just being cruel. But the belt of truth says no. God has a plan to bring an end to pain. God has a plan to bring an end to suffering and to bring us into heaven forevermore, where there's no tears, no pain, no suffering, where everything is perfect. So we must take the time to put on the belt of truth so that we can secure our spiritual strength by fully resting in the hope of salvation. And when those wicked spirits constantly remind us that we're unworthy of God's word, of God's forgiveness, the belt of truth reminds us that we aren't required to earn God's forgiveness. We're simply invited to receive it by faith in Jesus. And without a doubt, the enemy comes and reminds me of how unworthy I am of God's forgiveness. The enemy wants to tell me and remind me and constantly put before me my unworthiness. And I don't doubt for one second that I am the most unworthy person in this room. I am completely unworthy of God's forgiveness. But God never told me to become worthy in order to be forgiven. My forgiveness is not based on my worthiness, but on His. And so the belt of truth reminds us that we aren't required to earn God's forgiveness, but to simply receive it by faith in Jesus. And as a result, our spiritual strength is secured as we fully rest in the hope of salvation. And as the enemies of God strive to persuade us that we've forfeit the grace of God, that we've sinned once too many, and as we struggle with a sin, we certainly feel that way as we promise God, oh, I'll never do that again, but then we turn around and we do it again and we think, that's it. How could He forgive me? And the enemy of God will come along and whisper in our ears and say, see, that was the straw. No more forgiveness for you. You forfeit the grace of God. That's what the enemy wants us to believe. But the belt of truth gives us the confident expectation that He who has begun a good work in us is also faithful to complete it. And as a result, our spiritual strength is secured as we fully rest in the hope of salvation. Christian, listen. The devil's demons are attempting to attack the core beliefs and the vital doctrines that we've embraced as believers. And if we aren't careful to continually wear the belt of truth, then we'll end up submitting our spiritual strength to the enemy. And as a result, we'll give in to sin and begin to lose the war against wickedness. Therefore, we must continue to gird up the loins of our minds, thinking soberly, resting our hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so then we see that the belt of truth first helps us to fix our focus by tying up the loose-ended thoughts that distract us with doubtful thoughts and false feelings. The belt of truth also secures our strength by protecting the core beliefs and the vital doctrines that we've embraced as believers. And finally, the belt of truth readies our response. And so in order to more fully develop this final point, let's turn back to 1 Peter. I want to look at chapter 3, where Peter challenged Christians to have a ready response. And as you turn to 1 Peter 3, we should once again consider another feature and function of the Roman soldier's baltius. Because this military belt not only tied up the loose ends of a tunic, it not only kept the protective apron and breastplate close in place, but this belt was also used to attach the sheath that was used to hold the soldier's sword. And in just a few weeks, we're going to take the time to study the importance of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But here in our study today, I want to rather focus on the way in which the soldier's belt made the sword easily accessible. And with a sword that's easily accessible, the Roman soldier was able to give a ready response while on the battlefield. Consider for a moment, you're a soldier, and you're going into battle, and you really had no place to put your sword, and it's kind of heavy and cumbersome, and at one point in time, you sat down and you took a break and you forgot it and it was laying there by the campfire and you continue on. Next thing you know, you get ambushed by the enemy and you reach for your sword and where is it? It's not there. You would certainly lose in that fight. Therefore, the military baltius, it was an essential piece of armor because it gave the Roman soldier a place to put his sword. It gave him instant access to his sword so that he could give a ready response to the enemy. It's in similar fashion that the Christian's belt of truth also gives every believer instant access to the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In other words, when we put on the belt of truth by taking the time to search the Scriptures in order to tie up those loose-ended thoughts, when we take the time to get into God's Word and get God's Word into us as we search out the answers to those questions that we all have, we prepare ourselves with a ready response. When we put the belt of truth on by spending time studying God's Word, embracing those vital doctrines and core beliefs and protecting them, holding them close to our heart, we prepare ourselves with a ready response. When we do these things, when we put on the belt of truth, we find ourselves with a ready response to give a biblical defense for those who disagree with our faith. You see, the belt of truth gives us instant access to the sword of the Spirit. Check out the way Peter puts it here in 1 Peter 3:15. Here in 1 Peter 3:15, Peter writes, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Here in this verse, we find the Apostle Peter encouraging Christians to be ready to give a defense. This word defense comes from the Greek word apologia. This is where we get our word apologetics from. Apologia or apologetics, it refers to a formal defense or reasonable justification of something such as a religious doctrine. Therefore, when Peter commanded Christians to always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, he was actually encouraging believers to have a ready and reasonable response so that we might present unbelievers with a logical explanation and rational justification for our faith in Christ. Simply put, we should always have a ready response so that we might defend our faith with logical arguments. And the only way that we're going to be ready with this kind of defense is to take time to not only know what we believe, but why we believe it. There's a lot of Christians who know what they believe. And I praise God that by faith we can come to Him with just a little bit of information, just to know who Jesus is and what He's done for us, and by faith be saved. And as new believers, we can know what we believe. But in order to grow, to mature, in order to be a Christian soldier who is winning the war against wickedness, we must not only know what we believe, but we must also know why we believe it. Why do we believe that the God of the Bible is the true and living God? Why do we believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior? Why do we believe that we can be saved by God's grace through faith? Why do we believe these things? And in order to answer that question, we must spend time in the Word of God, searching out the answers to these questions, because people will come along and they will see our Christian faith and they will want to challenge us. They will want to challenge what we believe. Some with honest questions, some just to mock. Either way, we must be ready with a response to give a reasonable and rational explanation for why we believe what we believe. Now, there are those in Christian circles who will say, truth is like a lion. Just turn it loose and it will defend itself. I'm not so sure that the original author, Charles Spurgeon, intended to suggest that we don't have to defend the Scriptures. But these Christians will take this quote and suggest that all it means is that the truth is just out there and we just throw it out there and let it just defend itself. Paul seems to be a man who completely disagrees with this concept. And according to Luke, Paul is a man who always had a ready response to give to those who disagreed. For example, it was in Acts 17:2 that Luke tells us that Paul's custom, his way of life, the way he rolled, was to enter into the synagogues on the Sabbath and reason with the Jews from the Scriptures. As soon as he rolled up in a new town, he'd go straight to the synagogue and talk to the leaders and open up the Scriptures and begin to debate and argue and present Jesus Christ from the Word. In Acts 17:17, we find Paul reasoning in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers, and listen to this, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Daily Paul was out in the marketplace, talking with whoever would talk with him, opening the Scriptures and showing them why he believed what he believed. In Acts 18:4, Luke tells us that Paul reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, persuaded both Jews and Greeks. In Acts 18:18, we discover that Paul went into Ephesus and entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. In Acts 19:8, we find Paul returning to the same synagogue for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. For 3 months, he continued to go back. For 3 months, he continued to argue and debate and persuade and to reason and to give a ready response to every question. In Acts 19:9, Luke tells us that Paul began reasoning with the Gentiles every day in the school of Tyrannus, only after being rejected by the local Jews. Every day he went into the marketplace. Every day he went to the school of Tyrannus. For 3 months he went into the same synagogue, continually reasoning with unbelievers, giving them a ready response for why he believed what he believed. With all of this in mind, there should be no doubt that Paul was a man who was ready with a reasonable response. And according to Peter, so should we be. Oh, Christian, listen. If you're living the way you ought to be living, then there will be people who want to come and ask you questions about the hope within you. As the layoffs begin to happen and people begin to freak out, you ought to be the one who is hoping in Christ, fully hoping in His salvation. And as the people at your place of work see your faith, they ought to be coming to you and saying, why? Why are you so confident in this troublesome time? As the pay cuts come and people are losing money, you ought to be the one that's standing by faith in the hope of salvation, completely secured in your faith, knowing that the Lord is going to provide for you. And as the people around you see you with joy and confident expectation, waiting on Jesus Christ, they should be coming to you and saying, why? Why are you so confident? Why do you have so much hope? And you've been called to have a ready response. It's not at that point in time that you need to be going, oh, wait, the Bible said, what was the scripture that, where's my sword? If you don't have the belt of truth on, then you have no place to put your sword. If you don't have your sword, then you don't have a ready response. And so my challenge to you, Christian, is to keep that belt of truth on so that you have a ready response with your sword of the Spirit in reach. When those who come to mock your beliefs, to make fun of what you believe, you should be ready with a response to give them a reasonable and rational explanation for the fact that we have the truth and they don't. Not until they turn to Jesus Christ and receive His forgiveness by faith. We must understand that the only way to have a ready response is to wear the belt of truth, which makes the sword of the Spirit easily accessible. And so we see then that the belt of truth, it's an essential piece of armor. It's an essential piece of armor that is absolutely necessary if we want to win the war against wickedness. Therefore, we must use the belt of truth to fix our focus. Using the Word of God to tie up those loose-ended thoughts that cause distraction and doubts and false feelings. Taking those questions that arise in all of our minds and going to the Word of God and seeking the answers. Not later, but sooner. Let's use the belt of truth to secure our strength by tying that breastplate of righteousness close to our chest, protecting our core beliefs and our vital doctrines. Let's use the belt of truth to ready our response by giving us easy access to the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And with the belt of truth in place, Christian, listen, we will receive these three spiritual benefits and so much more. We will be able to fix our focus. We will be able to secure our strength. We will be able to ready our response, which in turn will help us to every day continue to win this war against wickedness. Let's pray.